cliffcentral.com. cliffcentral.com.
And that was CS Choice of Music today. It was Beyonce and the guy who once married Gwyneth Paltrow.
So, you been Coldplay.
What's his name again?
Okay, Sia.
Gavin Rosdale.
Sia, this is not a music station, okay?
Philip. What's
this
his name again?
Not a music station.
Chris Martin.
That's...
Yes, the conscious uncoupling people.
Sorry, anyone that calls their child Apple cannot be taken seriously. So
Michael, what did you think of the song?
It was all right. I mean, nothing special. I think on Friday, just before we end the show, we should say who the winner of the week is, who chose the best songs.
Who'll be the judge of that?
It can't be us.
Well,
because here's the thing.
It's me, because I'm the only one that's not playing songs.
Yeah,
Ben.
I'm objective. You can be the only objective one here.
Because
obviously Flex is not going to think your song choice or my song choice are better than his. It's just human nature.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're not going to think that, you know, we're also going to think, but I had the best song choice.
But his second song yesterday was good.
It was very good.
My first one was better. Nothing beats Eminem.
No, your second song beat Eminem.
Everything beats Eminem.
Can I be honest? You know what threw me off the Eminem? I walked past your production booth there and I saw you rapping to it. And then that kind of just, that was a vision I don't
want to
see.
I listen to that song every time I go to gym. I want to be able to go as fast as he goes when he does that. I'm a superhuman thing.
Okay. So, Michael, perhaps confirming the point that you're not the favorite at the moment.
So, no pressure, my man.
So Justice is on his way. I think he's firing up the stairs as we speak. So yesterday it was quite funny because my buddy's been hitting the gym quite hard recently.
Well, just since Monday.
Well, that's recent enough.
Yeah.
So yesterday she really couldn't get in and out of chairs that well. Now, so the show ends here and we all kind of go do our own things. Michael's busy, you know, making sure the podcasts are fine. Sia is either dancing or annoying someone. Mubs does a couple of hours of work and then she goes, same with me. So I went to a meeting and I came back here like 3 o'clock and my buddy was still in the same chair. I said, wow, really long day. And she just said, you know what? I essentially just can't get out of this chair. It was like 3 p.m. and she's like, you know, I just can't get out. So she tried to get out of the chair and then she made this wincing noise and everyone just laughed. I felt kind of sad for you because I've been there before.
You know, I only have myself to blame because I have completely let myself go. And I can't remember the last time that I was training seriously, right? It's been seriously close to a year. I'm talking about proper, regular sessions. So my body was really in a lot of pain yesterday. It was just completely shocked by what was happening to it. It was like, but this is foreign to us now. Yes. What are you doing to
me? What sort of training are you doing exactly?
No, I mean, just standard strength training with weights. So on Monday, it was legs day, which is why I was hobbling around.
Legs day's the devil.
Dude. Which is why I couldn't get in and out of chairs.
You know, not only is this building like wheelchair unfriendly, it's leg day unfriendly.
Yeah, this is true.
There are like 4 million stairs here, now that I think about it.
There's a lot of stairs here, and it's just the way they are, because you get this sort of like false verge, so you get 3 steps and like this pointless platform, which is like just ruining your rhythm.
Yeah.
And then you get more and more, and eventually you get here, out of breath, and everyone's laughing at you. It's a tough place.
Might as well put a climbing wall in here.
Well, the fireman's pole. Whatever actually stops people from downstairs using our toilets. Fortify our barricades here. Mubs, before we get into Justice, do you want to just give us a lineup of what is happening for the rest of the day?
Okay, so later on in the show, this will be after 8 o'clock, Gareth Cliff's extraordinary guest, that would be Dr. John Tibani. Dr. Tibani gave up the world of medicine to follow his dream of speaking and training. So you can hear his full story after 8 o'clock with that interview. And then at 9 o'clock is the open book with Loyi Sobala. Why do we eat Easter eggs? What is the relevance of a bunny that can't even lay eggs? Well, today you can find out the truth about Easter as Loyi Sobala chats with Adrian Ruas of the SA Pagan Council, Gary Rivers, who is the lead pastor at Grace Point Church in Lone Hill, and Mark Cunningham, who is the worship pastor of the Bryanston Bible Church. And we are heading into that whole Good Friday, Easter Monday long weekend. So that's what Loyi Sobala will be talking about this morning. Oh, 10 o'clock is the Renegade Report. This is with Jonathan Witt and Roman Kabanek. Now, this episode of the Renegade Report takes on racism and group identity in South Africa with guest Gwen Ngwenya, who we had speaking with Gareth not too long ago. The conversation delves into the fragility of blackness, the irrationality of white privilege, the ANC's obsession with race, and why the EFF might be good for the country. So it is a great antidote to the proposed Anti-Racism Week. This is one of the shows that you can find under podcasts on Cliff Central, and this morning you get to listen in on that at 10 o'clock. You know what? Justice has just walked in. Can we carry on with the lineup like later? Because I'm ready. I'm fired up. I don't know how Justice is feeling, but it's time for the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
Justice, I imagine there are some people in this country who didn't sleep overnight because they were busy putting out fires, making important phone calls, asking people tough questions, making some decisions.
I tell you, there are many, many. I got stuck in traffic in Sachsenwald, and I suppose I'm a bit scared that that's one area where there wasn't much sleep, and that's where the Gupta family lives. But I have to say, I don't know if you guys listened to Mcebisi Jonas' statement when he revealed all this. It was just beautiful. He spoke about the constitution and what it says about us. He spoke about the ANC and this glorious movement that sent its leaders to serve our people. And it was just, it was, man, this is us at our best. This is beautiful. And so you listen to that and you say, how can he be lying? How can anyone say he's lying? I mean, how, as a deputy minister, do you go out on a limb and say, you know, I'm going to just put it out there? So I think that's an amazing, incredible act of bravery that Mcebisi Jonas showed yesterday. I think that Feki Mento, bless her soul, has been amazing for this democracy, because now this thing that's been going for 6 years now has finally blown wide open, and we're going to get some answers. And if we don't get answers, I tell you, I think what I'm hearing from the opposition parties is that what happened in Brazil with those 3 million people marching and saying Dilma Rousseff must go, I think, you know, the ANC and President Zuma are really flirting with that kind of scenario after this. So, exciting times ahead. I think this weekend is going to be very exciting. The ANC is going to have its National Executive Committee meeting. All 86 elected members of the ANC's leadership will be inside, plus some leaders of the Youth League, the Women's League, and the provincial premiers. And they must cast their mind back to 2008 when they voted to kick Thabo Mbeki out of office. And it will be interesting to see whether Gwede Mantashe will get into his car at 3 a.m. and drive to Pretoria, as he did in 2008, to tell the person in the house at Mahlamba Ndlovu that, my brother, we as the ANC have now finally come to a conclusion and it's time for you to go.
But Justice, I mean, we are, well, okay, let me not say we, because I can't speak on behalf of everyone here, but I'm an eternal pessimist. And so when you say to me that finally we're going to get answers, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, no. They're just going to revert to politics 101. So first they'll deny, then they'll say, ah, I didn't know anything about it, and then they'll say, ah, no, the devil made me do it, or something like that. And then the fourth thing will be to find a fall person to blame.
No, there will be a fall person. I absolutely agree with you. What's going to happen is that President Zuma is going to issue a statement saying, it's terrible, all these people going and saying and offering people in my name. I will not have it. I will not allow it. It's unfair. It's terrible. We must take action. reaction, and everyone in the ANC will be saying, yes, it's terrible. You saw Jackson Mthembu, the former ANC spokesperson, that he's an MP now, a very senior MP, a member of the NEC of the ANC, saying, we must deal with these Guptas. It's terrible what they're doing here. Oh, hello. Do you think that they just arrived and just did this and without anyone's permission? If people go into the records, in 2011, President Zuma came into power in 2009. He said, I like Gibson Mjanja. He made him a head of the NIA. He liked Mosheik, who he goes back with to the Vula days, to MK days, intelligence days. He made him head of the SA Secret Service. He took Maketuka, I can't remember his first name now, and made him the three intelligence agencies. He made them the heads of that. In three different reports, the people who were responsible for bringing President Zuma to power, his own top spies, wrote different reports saying there is a danger to the state, and that threat to the state is the Gupta family and how it is manipulating leaders of our movement. This is 2010. You know what happened to those people? They were fired. One, two, three. All of them. All of them were fired. All of them left. So it's not as if the ANC doesn't know, but you're absolutely right about this. What's going to happen is that there's already spin happening, and I worry that the spin is quite dangerous now. If you look at the response to Mcebisi Jonas's statement, the Guptas are saying, oh, he's saying this to deflect attention from his own personal ethical lapses. This means that essentially they are saying, you say something about us, we're going to expose some dirt on you, and we're going to show you that you don't cross the Gupta family. Essentially, they're blackmailing him. And so it's a shot across the board to anyone who wants to do a fake mentor and Mcebisi Jonas. But I think it's going to fail. So when I say, finally, I'm saying the dam has burst open. And even with that spin, President Zuma, I think, will survive this weekend without a shadow of doubt. On Monday, the president of South Africa will still be President Jacob Zuma. On Friday next week, the president of South Africa will still be President Jacob Zuma. But he cannot stop the fact that the whole country is laughing at him, and is laughing at him because they know that, oh, that's not the president. If you want the real president, go to Saxonwold in Johannesburg and you will find the president of South Africa, and his name is Atul Gupta or Ajay Gupta. That's what it is. This country has been sold. I mean, guys, I'm ashamed today.
Have you just revealed a spoiler for your new book? This country's been sold.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm ashamed to be South African today. I'm ashamed to say I voted. I have voted in every single election in this country. And I vote for a party that these are the people I want to lead me. Someone comes along, unelected, unknown, and takes over the job of president of South Africa. I'm amazed that in the ANC itself, there is an absolute outrage mm-hmm. about the fact that we, as the ANC, say our candidate, our number one on the list is Jacob Zuma, and we send him to the union buildings to run the country. What happens? What happens? On Friday last week, Business Day reported that when Ngwakura Matlodi was fired, he was called to Mahlamba to the union buildings. He sat on a chair outside President Zuma's office. Out of the door comes Musebenzi Zwane, and you remember Musebenzi Zwane is from the Free State. Musebenzi Zwane and Duduzane Zuma. What is Musebenzi Zwane doing? He's about to be named as the new minister. Now, we know that Musebenzi Zwane was signed a letter saying, please bring the Gupta family guests to South Africa and give them visas because they are coming for a meeting on agriculture in the Free State. So it goes back to those 200 people landing at Waterloo Air Force Base. That is a minister, I'm telling you now, who was appointed by the Gupta family. Then we go on to all the others. Des van Rooyen, the minister that was the Des van Rooyen, and then all the other names that have been mentioned, Fakie Mentor and Fikile Mbalula. And you start saying, who else and what did they promised to give when they were appointed. And so as a South African, this is a joke. This is not democracy. This is not what the Constitution requires of us. So, I mean, I feel like, where is the outrage in the ANC when you are undermined so fundamentally? Where's the outrage in South Africa when you are undermined so fundamentally? And I think it's a terrible, terrible,
now,
thing.
Let's have a look at the kinds of opportunities this presents for the opposition parties, because on the one side you have the EFF saying, but we told you guys this and now it's just been confirmed, so we've been vindicated. On the other side, you've got the DA who now saying that they're going to be laying charges against the Gupta family. They said in a statement that Mcebisi Jonas confirmed that the Gupta family offering him the position of finance minister, that he was offered gratification in terms of the prevention of corrupt activities. And so the DA feels that, you know, this gives them ammunition to lay charges against the Gupta family. Now, if that is the case, does that do any good? I mean, in the long run, does it change anything? Does it improve things for us?
Let's not forget that this is not a new story. You will remember a man called Shabir Sheikh.
Good golfer.
A good golfer. Fantastic golfer.
Shea, but very ill, Justice. Very ill.
He's
very
at death's door. He might go any minute. Any minute. Now, that man was sentenced to jail because he basically created the business model for the Guptas. He went to jail because he gave Jacob Zuma money so that Jacob Zuma could swing some deals his way. What happens when Jacob Zuma comes to power? He says, that worked nicely. That guy went to jail and I'm still free. So this time I have to make sure that the NPA, the Hawks, the police are in my pocket so that there isn't even an investigation. So this is not new. When the ANC said Jacob Zuma is our candidate, it was exactly, absolutely clear who exactly they were putting in power. And so the chickens are coming home to roost. This is nothing new. So if the DA says we're going to lay charges, quite frankly, do I want to see another Shabir Sheikh who goes to jail, or do I want the person who enables all this to happen to go to jail? So the charges should be laid against President Zuma, not against the Guptas. The Guptas for me are absolutely sad, because what they've done is that there's this tinge of xenophobia and racism, if you will, against amazing, fantastic, great Indian South Africans. They have brought in an element to our politics that is just terrible, and that taints a whole community that has been incredible and fought against apartheid and so forth and so forth. So I don't think the Guptas are nothing here except greedy, selfish, whatever, business people who are taking a chance and are doing so, maybe doing so illegally. President Zuma and those around him who have sat and enabled and done all these things are the people who should be charged with absolutely everything. The book should be thrown at them, and the DA would be well placed, should actually exercise its energies in doing that, rather than saying, it's like saying, oh, there's the top guy, but I'm going to shoot the guy on the side. Quite frankly, you know, this is exactly the Jackson Mthembu syndrome, that, oh, these Guptas are terrible and so forth. And when you talk about the spin that's going to come out, that's what's going to happen, that, oh, it's all the others. President Zuma is never guilty of anything. It's all these bad people around him doing all kinds of
things. The messages, Lynn has a sort of theory around that. She says, Justice, since Jonas issued the statement through the SABC, it made me think it had been sanctioned by the ANC. Therefore, it's engineered to damage the Guptas and not Jay-Z, to the point. Because if the SABC is going to break a story like that, you kind of think it's going to be a number one's interest.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think no matter how you look at it, this is certainly damaging for For the ANC, it's damaging. It's
yeah, sure,
huge.
But it's like it's the better of two evils, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's damaging for the president. It's damaging for the ANC. I think the focus for me, the focus, and for many other people, the focus remains to the ANC. It's you guys are in power. You got 62% of the vote in 2014. Why aren't you acting on this issue? So it puts a lot of pressure on the ANC. It's interesting for me that here we are more than 12 hours later. President Zuma still has not responded to Mcebisi Jonas' statement. It was interesting for me that he had a sudden loss of memory when Feki Mentor said, I was also offered a position by the Guptas, and suddenly he didn't recall who she was. This is someone that he traveled with to China. This is someone who says that, Guy, you sat next to me at ANC caucus meetings. You announced my appointment when I was appointed, and you say you don't recall who I am. What's going on here? Thabo Mbeki issued a statement yesterday, a one-liner saying, oh, I know Feki Mentor as an activist and a valued member of the ANC. Now, that's quite interesting for me because when Mbeki was president, Zuma was the deputy president. So surely, as the leader of government business, which was his official position, he knew who the ANC caucus chair. So I'm not sure about that SABC element, but I think that the damage is to both. The point that I think in there is that the ANC is in battle with itself. The ANC, that there are clearly two factions and a third one which kind of swings between the other two, these two main factions. And that's what you're seeing is basically a battle for the soul of the ANC. And there's an element of the Mcebisi Jonas's, the Pravin Gordhan's, and others, the Gwede Mantashe's, basically saying, we are fighting back against the corruption, the rot, that so forth, and all this and all this. And then there's the Jacob Zuma faction, which is sitting there, is essentially trying to protect the looting, the corruption that has been going on a massive scale, in my view, over the past 7 years.
And so far, it seems the Jacob Zuma faction has been winning all the rounds, because what you'll see is them forming this defense force around the president to say, no, hang on, we stand by this guy. Mm. But Justice, then, let me ask you what could potentially happen to the president. I hear a lot of people, from journalists to political commentators, calling for the president to be recalled, calling for the president to step down. You know, you mentioned that if the DA are going to lay charges against anybody, it should be against the president because it's wasted on the Guptas. So I think a lot of frustrated South Africans who are frustrated with the ANC and the president would like this to be the nail in the coffin for him. But is that going to be the case?
yeah, you put it well when you say that the defense force. You must have noted last night that that great political heavyweight, and I'm not talking about his political credentials when I say he's a heavyweight, Colin Maine, the ANC Youth League president.
Yeah.
Colin Maine was very interesting. He went on the radio. This is a man who basically never gets interviewed. He's always running away. But he popped up last night and he was saying, what's going on here? We stand by our president. It's terrible what's happening to him. What are all these people saying? And you could see the fight back starting. Colin Maine, as the president of the ANC Youth League, will be in the National Executive Committee of the ANC this weekend. He according to the ANC constitution, he's got he's an ex-officio member of the NEC. So him and the Secretary General of the ANC Youth League will be there. Already you can see him with his hand high up saying, no, comrades, please. The president is not involved in this thing. And so that battle inside the ANC is interesting because 75% of those people in that NEC used to be essentially Colin Maineb, raising their hand at every point saying, no, 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 the president is not guilty. What are you talking about? You people are... That has shifted somewhat. So you have your Enoch Godongwana, for example, last week saying, this is nonsense. If the, our government is doing all the wrong things, then we must march on it. You have your Guedemantashe being very kind of, what's going on here? This is not the ANC that I know, and others and others. But no one knows just how much the ground has shifted. And so at the end of the day, the fate, the future of South Africa is in the hands of those 86 plus 12 or so members of the ANC NEC. My view is that President Zuma still has a majority in that NEC. And so even if there's a vote, and I don't think people will take it to a vote, because if there's a vote, it's by show of hands, it's in the public, and people won't vote against when they don't not sure about the numbers. So a motion to recall President Zuma, I think, is going to be defeated. And the frustration will continue. So if there isn't a civil society backlash, for example, then President Zuma will remain in power. What will it look like when he remains in power? I think the key thing here is that Moody's is in town. They arrived yesterday and they are seeing all these things happen. Mm. They are looking at us and saying, I thought we were here to talk about the economy. And it's like, no, everyone else is busy trying to offer other people jobs or get a big tender and so forth. So I think we can begin to say South African economic life is going to get very hard over the next 5 years, because we're going to be downgraded. It's going to be hard for our banks to borrow overseas. We are going to be hit by massive increases in interest rates. It's going to take 5 to 7, maybe 8, 10 years to come back from that junk status that we'll be in. So all the stuff that's going in, it's going to hit South Africans in the pocket, and it's going to be very, very tough over the next 5 years. That's the sadness, that all this stuff has a consequence, and people don't seem to be awake to the fact that actions have consequences, and President Zuma's actions, the Gupta family's actions, have real and meaningful consequences. And it's that basically money is going to fly out of South Africa.
Well, if you want to get an understanding, like in that movie Back to the Future, just look at Brazil.
Indeed.
You know, if you want to get an understanding how bad all this stuff is, it's no joke. It's Brazil. We are moving that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. People don't realize what junk status means. If you look back at South Africa in the 1990s, South Africa was a sub-investment grade. People forget that interest rates used to stand at like 18%. Basically, you're buying a car, and the life that we've lived this year with less than 10% interest, over the past 10 years with less than 10% interest rates and so forth and so forth, that's going to go away. There are going to be real consequences for the poor, for employment. Who's going to invest here? And therefore, 8.3 million people are unemployed. What are we going to do with those young people? So this is not a joke. This is real. And we... at this time in our life, our political and economic life, we should have a president who is running to O.R. Tambo, welcoming those guys from Moody's, saying, come this way, guys, let's talk. This is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. This is how it's going to work. You know what the Moody's team is listening to today and yesterday and tomorrow as they sit here with South Africans? They're hearing Gcebisi Jonas, Faki Mentor, Gcebisi Jonas, Pravin Gordhan, the Hawks are going after the finance minister. There is no way we can avoid a downgrade to junk status now. It's done. It's complete.
And speaking of Pravin Gordhan, what's happening there? I mean, there's these questions, there's to-ing and fro-ing. It's difficult to keep up with all of this.
It is difficult to keep up with it. But I think there's one thing that people have been asking, and it's if Pravin Gordhan is innocent, he didn't engineer the formation of this rogue unit at SARS, why doesn't he just answer the 27 questions?
27 questions.
So what's happened, Ben, has been that, as you know, the Hawks said to Pavin Gordhan, this is not a soapy or a talk show where you can just issue statements. You have to report to us and give us the answers, or else our legal team is coming after you. Basically saying, you know what, we're going to arrest your bum. And that's quite a thing. It's what is going on here? A South African body threatening to arrest the finance minister. Think about what the consequences of that will be. But for me, the question that he posed to the Hawks, saying, what under what law exactly are you pursuing me? What exactly are you asking for? Is one part of the question. But for me, if you look at what's happened at the Hawks, remember that we used to have a unit called the Scorpions in South Africa.
Yes. Yeah.
The Scorpions were famous. They went after some big politicians. Tony Yengeni went down because of the Scorpions. They were going after a man called Gedleyihlekisa Zuma, you know? And what happened when they went after Jacob Zuma? In 2007, the ANC conference in Polokwane took a decision that this unit needs to be shut down.
Mm.
Within 6 months of the ANC conference in Polokwane, in 2008, the first 6 months in parliament, the current deputy minister of police led a campaign, Megiso, she led a massive campaign to make sure that the Scorpions were shut down. She pushed through the law and all that and all that, and boom, the Scorpions were shut down. In their place, we have the Hawks. The Hawks are not as independent as the Scorpions. The Hawks have not arrested any politician of stature at all for corruption. And Anwar Dramat was in there. In December 2014, Anwar Dramat was fired. Why was he fired? Because he had started investigating some people who are allegedly close to the president of South Africa. Who is the president of South Africa? Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma. So who replaces him? Benning Mthlemeza, Mthandazo Mthlemeza, is a man who was found by the Pretoria High Court to be dishonest and to have lied under oath.
I'm sorry. You have to laugh or else you will kill yourself. Carry on. Sorry.
So one of the things when you say Pavin must answer the questions, you're saying I've rigged the system. You play sport, right? Then you're saying I've bought the referee, I've given money to the goalkeepers, now go and play in a fair game. So
best of luck getting the word.
Good luck, Pavin. We hope you score a goal. So you're saying Pavin must go and play in a... look at the swimming pool. It's so dirty. It's got bacteria and viruses and all sorts of things. Jump in. Do the... How's your breaststroke, my man? I mean, so the system is rigged. And now you're saying, but you know, he must follow the law. So the Hawks are rigged. We know what's happening at the NPA, where essentially... Everyone of integrity has been kicked out, and now you have the NPA essentially conducting a witch hunt against people, like all sorts of other people who are being charged, from Robert McBride to other people. And so the system is rigged, but you're saying, Pavin, jump in and, you know, you're going to get a fair game. It's going to be absolutely fair. It's not going to be fair. Pavin Gordhan is being set up to go to jail because it's all done and dusted now. If the Hawks were so spectacularly efficient, they would be in Sachsenwald now taking down statements that, sir, why did you offer a job to Fakey Mentor when da-da-da-da? Oh, sir, why did you offer a job to Mkebisi Jonas when the minister was still in place? Who gave you the authority to offer people jobs and to offer them a bit of something? I mean, there's a quote in what they said to Mkebisi Jonas. They said, don't worry, we'll fix you up. Man.
So then if the pot gets too hot, then the minister could decide, I don't need this. I'm resigning. I don't need this in my life. I'm gone.
On February 27, the Sunday Times called the minister, and his wife picked up the phone and said, he's stressed and I've taken the phone away from him so that he can relax a bit. And I thought that was very telling, because it says the pressure on the minister, the pressure on Treasury is massive. If he does resign, what we saw last year will be like a picnic. The rand is not going to, the rand will go to 25 to the dollar. The rand will plummet against the pound. The rand will plummet against the euro. All the confidence that over the past 2-3 months he has built up will be totally removed from the system. So, you know, you've got to hope and pray that Pravin Gordhan isn't arrested, doesn't resign, isn't fired by President Zuma. Does President Zuma realize that in his hands, in his decisions, there is massive, massive damage that could be done? I don't know. So essentially, we at the mercy of probably a president who doesn't appreciate that his actions could have massive consequences for all of us.
Okay, well, speaking of actions and massive consequences, this whole FIFA thing, right? Now, today, Fikile Mbalula is going to get up in front of media at 1 o'clock. And he's gonna spin better than anyone at the World T20 this week. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting what's happened. We've known this, that this has been going on. This is the first time. It's not. Was it Loretta Lynch, the U.S. Attorney General, who laid the charges last year? It's now FIFA itself saying, "Hello, Baba, in our name, this happened." So this puts a lot of pressure on a whole load of people who have been saying, I didn't know, it wasn't me. It's going to be interesting, but essentially what FIFA is saying is that South Africa paid a $10 million bribe.
Confirmed.
Now, you know, I think at some point we have to start saying, well, if we paid a bribe, who paid it? How did we get there? And maybe we should be proactive and say, oh, you know, we hate corruption. So we are going to speak to Denis Jordan, and we're going to speak to Molefe Olifant, and maybe speak to...
This is a lovely fantasy.
Who's the chairman of Orlando Pirates again? Yes. Let's speak to him too. But I suspect you're absolutely right that Fikile Mbalula is going to stand in front of the media this afternoon and say, absolutely outrageous. We, South Africa, would never think of doing this. But the fingerprints of South Africa are all over the thing. How do we transfer $10 million to be in the control of one man? Where's the evidence that the $10 million went to the diaspora? Why, in fact, didn't we give some of the $10 million to, Angola or Mozambique, a country that needs football development or something? But we decided, you know what? Oh, we're going to go to the Caribbean, the African diaspora, and all that and all that. Where has it gone? So, it's very sad. It's very sad, actually. And I think some people should be charged. I'm very sad for Denis Jordan, by the way, because Denis Jordan, by all accounts, has been doing an amazing job as the replacement mayor in Port Elizabeth. Since he's been there, people are saying, wow, fantastic. I don't know if you guys saw that survey done by Ipsos Machina about 4 weeks ago.
No, tell
and,
us.
That survey went around and they asked people, who are you going to vote for? And everyone who had said, most people who had said that, you know what, the ANC has run the city into the ground, da-da-da, all that, were saying, you know, Denis Jordan in just 6 months, 7 months in the job, has done such an incredible thing that if he's the ANC candidate, we will vote for the ANC. So in just 6 months, he's fired more than 20 people, he suspended another 40. The lights are working. The billing system is improving. Things are happening in PE. Because of Danny Jordan. But this, I think he has to explain. And he might be wearing orange overalls one day soon, unless he gets some protection from a suburb called Saxonwold in Johannesburg.
Yes, I hear that that suburb offers, or the specific compound in that suburb offers great protection for some in this
like
country.
Julian Assange of SA.
Find me the Ecuadorian embassy. it's all fun and games.
Yeah, I just want to get a couple of questions here on WeChat. Mike Mason saying, if the Hawks and in turn Zuma's agenda was to implicate Pravin from the start, why go to the trouble of bringing him in as finance minister in the first place? Now, would this have been sort of thought of before this, or is it just like a recent thing?
No, I think what happened was that Pravin was brought in because in those 4 days, CEOs of banks, CEOs of all sorts of companies, people inside the ANC were saying, guy, you better fix this thing. So when Pravin comes in and it's what should happen now, Pravin, by the way, Pravin, you need to make sure that things go well at the at SAA and that we buy those six Airbus jets. By the way, there's a nuclear program coming in. You need to make sure that that works. Oh, Pravin, don't touch Eskom and all the other SOEs that we are using to funnel money to our cronies via coal contracts and so forth. He said no. So the first thing he did was to call the chair of SAA in and say, you are not buying new jets, putting in a... Remember what happened there was that it was basically, I'm going to buy some jets from Mabale and it's going to be great. Suddenly, the people who are spending this 6 billion, was it 6 billion? I can't remember the exact figure. But spending this money are saying, no. We need to bring in Ben between us and me and Mabale so that Ben can do the deal and get an extra 20%. So, I'm sorry, if I'm going to buy a microphone from you and you're selling it to me for 100 rand, why do I want to buy it for 120 rand? Why do I want to bring in someone to get an extra 20 rand when I can buy it directly from you? So this was the problem with Pravin Gordhan. He came in and said, oh, let's clean up here. Mm. He went to SARS and said, stop that restructuring because I don't know what it's about. So essentially, even though Pravin wasn't the candidate that the Guptas and President Zuma were hoping for, they turned around and said, let's see if he'll do the things that we want done anyway. And he wouldn't. And so since December 13, when he came into office and today, he's basically said, you put me in charge, I'm going to do the right things. If you don't like them, go jump in the lake. And so they're going for him because he is not playing ball. Mm-hmm. And he is saying, the Constitution tells me to do 1, 2, 3. Proper financial controls say you can't do 1, 2, 3. And so essentially they're going for him.
Well, if this were a beauty pageant, Pravin Gordhan would have only been the second princess. Because according to Mqebisi Jonas, the job was first offered to him. He declined. Then it went to Van Rooyen. And then only after that, Pravin Gordhan came in.
Pravin Gordhan wasn't even in the running.
No.
It's one of those, essentially, what did the comedian do, Harvey?
Steve Harvey.
Pravin was so far away, he wasn't even able to be Steve Harvey.
When he announced the wrong winner.
Exactly. So essentially, President Zuma is very cross right now because Steve Harvey announced the wrong winner.
Yeah.
This is not the guy he wanted. This is by no chance. Remember, he'd removed him in 2014 from that portfolio. basically because he wasn't doing all the right things. So he kept on hoping that Nhlanhla Nene will, you know, just sign the blank checks. Nhlanhla Nene wouldn't do it. By the way, can I just say, the hero in all this thing is Nhlanhla Nene. Nhlanhla Nene refused the SAA deal, refused the nuclear procurement, refused until it was, you know what, I've had enough of you. Get out. So he kicks him out and thinks, nah, it's all good now. I'm going to have some lackeys coming in. And no, what happens? The Des Van Rooyen comes in and the whole nation and the markets go haywire. And he's forced to find someone who is credible to the market, who is seen as being honest and upstanding. And he's seething. Because, oh my word, I've got the wrong guy. But let's see if he'll do the right things. And the wrong guy says, I'm sorry, Baba. I'm not here to sign the blank check.
No.
So that's basically why it's all happening.
Sure.
And just one more question here out of the messages. Brian Brown says, ask Justice his thoughts on the Robert McBride court case. Any new stuff on that?
But Robert McBride has now been appeared in court. I think it was yesterday, actually, or Wednesday. Yes, remember the case against Robert McBride is that when he looked at the case against Anwar Dramat, claiming that some Zimbabweans who had committed crimes. Allegedly committed crimes here and in Zimbabwe, that they were essentially renditioned, and they were taken in a South African police car, taken to the border, handed over to the Zimbabwean authorities. Now, South African law says you cannot, if Mabale is facing charges in Swaziland or in Lesotho or in Botswana, if you know, for example, that in Botswana, they have the death sentence, and we don't agree, and we don't believe that people should be hanged by their necks until they die. You cannot hand that person over for their human rights to be violated in a foreign country. You have to keep them here. That's what we've signed up to. That's why we are such a great country. And the allegation is that South Africa and the Hawks handed over those guys to the Zimbabweans knowing that they would be tortured, there would be all sorts of things would happen to them, and that shouldn't have happened. So the investigation had said, oh, you know, Anwar Dramat is implicated and so forth and so forth. When it came to IPID, whose head McBride was, they found McBride said there were two reports written, one saying, we think Anwar Dramat and others are implicated. The other said, actually, there isn't even evidence that the guy knew. So finally, he signed off on the one that said there is no evidence, because there was no evidence, and said, here's your report. Anwar Dramat is not guilty. There's no need to lay charges against him. So the Hawks then say, no, you falsified the report and you got rid of the evidence. So we are coming after you. He's adamant that show me the evidence that this actually happened, that the people you're saying, that one, I falsified it, and that there is actual evidence that these people were renditioned to the Zimbabweans. It's quite convoluted case, but right. The thing about it is that there is a sense that it's exactly what's happening with Pravin Gordhan. It's that Anwar Dramat wanted to investigate some very, very powerful people, that anyone, that when he was gotten rid of and all these charges placed over his head to keep him quiet, that people like Robert McBride found their backbone and said, this is a rubbish charge, and throw it out. And so they're coming after them too. So it's, it's part of the same battle that has been going on. What interests me, by the way, about this case is that Robert McBride was invited to the opening of Parliament on February 11 by Jesse Duarte, who is the Secretary General of the ANC. Anwar Dramat, who was fired by President Zuma as head of the Hawks, was invited to the State of the Nation speech on the same day by Jesse Duarte of the ANC. Ivan Pillay, who was at SARS and has also been fired by a Jacob Zuma appointee, Tom Moyane, was also invited to the opening of Parliament on February 11 by Jesse Duarte. So clearly there are political shenanigans going on here. And those shenanigans are almost as if Jesse Duarte is sometimes with President Zuma and sometimes saying, look at all these people. By the way, can we just put on the record that those three people fought against apartheid like Robert McBride is famous, notorious, whatever the word you want to use, for the Maguzba bomb in KZN. Anwar Dramat was an MK. He was a kid. He was tortured like nobody's business by the apartheid regime in the late 80s. Ivan Pillay was an intelligence operative under President Zuma in the 1980s. All of them have been kicked out. If you look at all their histories and what they did at SARS, at IPID, at the Hawks, essentially they started saying, not in my name, I'm going to investigate 1, 2, 3. And they were all kicked out. And now they are being invited to the State of the Nation by Jesse Duarte and others. I think there are a whole lot of background shenanigans going on there. It will be interesting to see where they end up.
So within the ANC, you're saying that there are these two factions, but then it also sounds like that there are some individuals who are playing both sides, thinking,
yes,
okay, let me test things out here and see which side is better for me.
Exactly. And I think that is why, at the end of the day, President Zuma might not be recalled this weekend, because it's not clear who's winning. So that swing vote that says no, we're with President Zuma, no, we're against him, that swing vote is not clear. And so no one will take a chance on saying it's time for Baba to go. And therefore that's where that pendulum is still going very fast either way. So what did Jeremy Gauntlet say at the Constitutional Court? A delicate time in a dangerous year, or something like that.
You would probably phrase it better than any of us, Justice.
I think that's what he said, and I think that's what we're going through now. It's that time.
Justice, there are many questions to you this morning, but I think we've kind of run out of time.
Yeah.
You got time for one more question?
Yeah, let's do
let's
one.
Let's just have one more little light chat about Omar al-Bashir. Let's just finish up with something light.
Oh, you know what? Guys, that's the thing. By the way, I just think you have to love the institutions. You know, this constitution, the institutions that we've set up. So you'll remember what happened June. June 15 last year, that NGO goes out and says, arrest this man because he's responsible for the deaths of about 300,000 of his own fellow black people, mm-hmm. Okay? And so the African leaders, all must in Sandton, popping into the fine restaurants and so forth, no, you can't arrest one of us. President Zuma jumps around, no, you can't arrest him. But the court says, you've got to keep him here. Our country goes and defies a court order, its own court order, and says, no, at 11:56 on June 16, they put him on a plane. He flies out of Waterkloof Air Force Base. We broke our own law. This week, the courts again reiterated that South Africa broke its own laws by not keeping that man here. I love it. You know what? You can do whatever. You can think your way out. You've stolen from the country and whatever. But the courts are still doing an amazing job. The public protector is still doing an amazing job. Other institutions are still doing an amazing job. You know what? We're not a banana republic. Sometimes we teeter on there. But these institutions make me so proud. People like Fakey Mentor and Mcebisi Jonas make me so proud to be South African. They just stand up despite the threats that, oh, we will expose you, whatever. I love them. It's fantastic.
It would just be nice to know that the example set there will allow more people to find their voice now. That is all I want to take out of today, is that maybe there's more.
There is more, and I think it's happening. You know what? I think that's a real pushback. It's slow. Sometimes you don't see it in the noise, but I think it's there, and it makes me feel, oh man, can't you play me that song? I feel good.
I think that would be a good place to end it then, is when Justice is feeling good. An extended burning platform for you this morning, but I think, you know, we always get such great value out of having you come in and join us, Justice, and
absolute
just talk
pleasure.
Us through these important issues. Thank you very much for your time again this morning. Will we see you next week Thursday, right? Gareth, that guy, he'll be back.
Yeah, that guy will be back.
Unfortunately, we were not
able
to
leave
him
in the desert.
We tried. But yeah, he'll be back next week Thursday. So thanks again, Justice. And if you missed out on any part of the Burning Platform for this Thursday,
Burning
of course,
Platform,
it will be available
fired
for
up
you to
by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
Coming up next is Gareth Cliff's extraordinary guest. That would be Dr. John Dibani. What an interesting story here. He gave up the world of medicine to follow his dream of speaking and training. And Gareth got an opportunity to sit down with Dr. John Dibani. And that is what we will bring you next.
Cliffcentral.com.